I hope you've noticed the sermon message title in the bulletin. Will our freedom last? Well, it's lasted for better than 200 years. But I want you to turn with me in your scriptures to Psalm 125. It'll give us some insight about the question, will our freedom last? Some good things here in Psalm 125 I want to share with us. Then share a message about it and answer the question, will our freedom last? Psalm 125, verse 1. Only five verses there, but whoa, what a great message these verses share with us. Psalm 125, verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. We all realize we're going to celebrate, even starting today, this next full week, we'll celebrate our Independence Day. We have been free as a nation for more than 200 years now. But do you ever wonder how much longer is this freedom that we have going to last? When you see all the deviations we see from when we were founded as a godly nation, if you see all the deviation from that time unto the degradation that you're seeing today, you have to ask your question, will our freedom last? You have to wonder, will our freedom last as a nation? Will our freedoms last as individuals? Is it possible, the way things are going today, for our freedoms to last? So if it lasts, how long will it last? How much longer, you might say, will it last? Well, the psalmist had the same question here that we raised today about the freedom of Israel. The very same question he faced then in the Old Testament is the same question that we face today. Now, Israel had known over the years times of captivity, and they'd also known times of liberty. But Israel always lived on, even until today, Israel's always lived on the very cutting edge of liberty or captivity, haven't they? Well, the psalmist had some answers to that question about how long will our freedom last. And he says there are certain things, if you want your freedom to last, Israel, it was originally written to Israel, we know that, but it's just as applicable to us today as it was to Israel in that day. So if you want your freedom to last, he says, there are certain things that's got to be evident, and certain things have to be applied to our truths in our lives today if we want our freedom to continue as we have had it before up to now. Now, I want you to look at this psalm with me and lift out some truths and let us get at least a fresh look, maybe possibly a new look to some, how to ensure that the freedom we have today will indeed last. Four things I want to share. First of all, our current freedoms that we have will last, first of all, if we start again relying upon the Lord. That's the answer. Verse 1 and 2. They that trust in the Lord shall be as a Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth even forever. The Bible teaches us, blessed or blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We have had that blessed nation to exist now for better than 200 years. Our God has been, up to this point, the Lord Himself, and God has blessed us for it. Our nation was begun over 200 years ago as our pledges say, one nation under God. And we've added later on, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. But now I ask, listen, we still have on our monies, in God we trust. But I know there's a push that we just take that off our currency, take that off of our coins, that we don't trust the God anymore. Yes, we need to trust God. He's our only hope, to trust Him. We were founded as one nation under God. Let me ask another question. What has happened? What's happened to us as a nation over these 200 years? How far we have drifted from our original foundation upon which this country was begun. If we want lasting freedom, if we want continuing freedom, we've got to go back as a nation and go back as an individual to start relying on God. And there's two ways the psalmist speaks of here. He talks about, first of all, go back to the place of having confidence in God again, not money. It says in verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. If we put our faith and our confidence totally in the Lord, He said, you're going to be like Mount Zion. Mount Zion towers over Jerusalem, sort of watching over Jerusalem, if you will. Mountains are formed and they're set in the rock bed of the earth. Mountains don't move. They're established. They're set. They're there. They're steadfast. They're there forever. As far as we're concerned, they're there forever. Put your trust in the Lord. Put your faith in God. Put your confidence in God. And He said, you'll rise up as Mount Zion. If you want to be free and continue to be free, we're going to have to, as a nation, we're going to have to, as a church, we're going to have to, as an individual, place our total confidence in the Lord. And then we'll be unmovable, always abounding, the Bible says, in the work of the Lord. Our nation, for the most part, thank God there's pockets of wonderful, wonderful Christians in our nation. But our nation, as a rule, has lost its respect for the Lord. For the most part, I say, lost our respect, lost our confidence in the Lord. The one who always gives us the ever-abiding help that we need, and the only help that we're ever going to get is from the Lord, and we've lost confidence in the only help. How can we have continuing freedom, lasting freedom, when you don't have your confidence in the Lord Himself? We've got to go back to that. We see, and I know all of us who are here, doesn't matter what your age is, early or late, young or old, we see some of our freedoms just slipping away day by day, and annually we see that, don't we? But if I want our continuing freedom to last, we've got to put our confidence in the Lord. Second thing about that, we've got to perceive the commitment God's made to us as God of our fathers and God of our fathers today. Look at verse 2. He says in verse 2, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, how long? Even forever. Now, if you know much about topography, you'll notice this about Jerusalem. Jerusalem's up on a kind of a flat plateau, but Jerusalem is surrounded, not real close, but surrounded by a circle of mountains, and Mount Zion towers above them there. So he's saying this. You've got to perceive the commitment God has made. He says, God's going to be to His people just like the mountains that surround Jerusalem. If you go to Jerusalem, and I've never been, just seen pictures, some of you have, you'll know that's the truth, that it's surrounded by mountains. God's going to surround His people. And it doesn't matter, beloved, listen, where sin abounds, God's grace abounds even more. And God has committed Himself to surround His people and take care of His people just like the mountains surround Jerusalem. And He's promised to do that. How long? Forever. He's given us a lasting promise, an everlasting commitment that He'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us. It doesn't matter how bad things get. It doesn't matter how much sin abounds. God's not going to leave us. Well, that leaves us no choice except this. If we want our freedom that we have today to last and to continue, then we're going to have to go back and start relying upon the Lord as we should and as we need to do. But there's another thing the psalmist says here. If you want your freedom to last, you've got to rely upon the Lord. But then he says, secondly, you've got to remain faithful to the Lord. And oh, how we have failed in that area. Look at the first part of verse 3. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Look at verse 4. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. What is the first thing that the Bible teaches us that a child of God should be? Faithful. It's required of stewards, the Bible says, that first of all, we be found faithful. If we want our freedom to last, we've got to start again being faithful unto the Lord. Remain faithful unto Him. And there's two things He says about that here. He says, first of all, to be faithful, what's involved in it? Number one is be good. Look at verse 3. For the lot of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Verse 4, do good, O Lord, unto those that be good. Now, preacher, you know the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. I know it does say that. But to be good, what does it take to be good? You've got to be righteous. You've got to be in a right relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Know Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Our nation needs to be in a better relationship to our Lord Jesus than we've ever been. Yet we're drifting all the time the other way. Being good is not on the agenda sometimes of what's going on in our nation today. But to be good in God's sight, you've got to be righteous. Be right with God. Be in a right relationship. Then he says, if you are, here's what God said. The rod of the wicked will never lay its hand upon the lot of the righteous. What does that mean? That means the leadership, you might say. Wicked people will never overtake the righteous. God will see to it. If you're good and you're in a right relationship to the Lord, they will never take away your freedom. Now, they're trying to do that. Every day that you live, you see that, don't you? Every year, it just gets tighter and tighter and tighter, doesn't it? He says, if you're going to be faithful, first of all, you've got to be good. Then he says, you have to do good. Look at verse 4. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. To do good is to be upright, he says, in your heart. How much good do you see going on today? About everything else you see going on, but not much good, do you? There's turmoil on every hand. There's trauma everywhere you turn. There's sin. There's wickedness. Grossness just abounds everywhere. But how much good are you seeing being done today? God's pledged Himself to do good to those who are being good and those who are doing good. So if we want our freedom to last, we've got to be good. We've got to start doing good again. The Bible says in the New Testament, God will not withhold any good thing from His children. So if you want your freedom to last, start being good and start doing good. Listen, how much do you want your freedom to last? How interested are you for our freedom to last beyond where we are? It's got to be important enough to us as a nation. It doesn't seem to be, but it's got to be if you want freedom to last. We've got to have goodness being done and doing good. That's what he says right here. Well, there's a third thing the psalmist says here. If you want your freedom to last, you've got to rely upon the Lord. You've got to remain faithful to the Lord, be good and do good. Then he says, thirdly, you're going to have to reject false leadership. Look at verse 3, the first part. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Look at verse 5. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the works of iniquity. The psalmist mentioned in these two verses, the rod of the wicked And he mentions those who turn to their own ways. He says, their crooked ways. I'm sorry to have to say, that pretty well characterizes a lot of our leadership in this nation today. It's wickedness and crookedness. Amen? It's there. We can't reject it. You can't deny it. But we've got to learn to reject it. What is it about this leadership that we need to reject? We need to understand what we need to do so we can have things better in our nation. Rejecting false leadership involves two things we need to do. We've got to learn to reject this corrupt iniquity of these leaders that we've got in our nation today. Now, I don't mean every single one. I'm not taking political sides. I think we have some limited leaders trying to do what's good and trying to get what's right. But the overwhelming majority of our leadership is nothing more than corruption and iniquity. You see it everywhere you turn. You can look at the lowest level of government that we have locally, and you see it, don't you? Amen. You can rise up your eyes and you can look to the most top level of our government authority and leadership, and you see corruption and you see iniquity. I have never in all my days seen corruption and iniquity being exposed in our leadership as I'm seeing it today, from the top all the way to the bottom. What about you? Can I get a witness? I'm telling you. We see iniquity coming to the surface all the time of this leader or that leader, this politician, that politician, this person, that person. Everywhere you turn, you see corruption and you see iniquity. I believe we've come to that time that Isaiah spoke about in the Old Testament when he said, there's a time going to come when men shall call good evil and evil good. Beloved, listen, we're in those days today. Look at our leadership if you don't believe it. It's being exposed from the top level all the way to the bottom. What are we going to do? How are we going to reject this kind of crooked, perverse, corrupt leadership that we're facing today? He says, you've got to reject it. That the rod of the wicked won't lay a hand against the righteous. What are we going to do? We're going to have to learn to elect better leaders than what we have at the present and in the past. Can I get a witness? Amen. Now, if you don't vote, you have no right to say anything. If you're too lazy and sorry to get out and vote, just take what you get. Amen? If you want better leaders, elect better leaders. Find out where they stand with God. Find out if they know the Lord or not. Find out what their agendas are, what they'd like to see for our nation. We've got to have better leaders to get a better nation. And it comes to elections. So we've got to reject this corrupt iniquity that we see on every hand. Then another thing he says in verse 5, we have to reject this crooked indifference that our leadership today has toward God. God is always, all through His Word, wants His paths made straight. Amen? Amen? Didn't John the Baptist come in preaching of our Savior who's to come? He said, I come to make His paths straight. We're seeing every kind of path today from our leadership except the straight and righteous and holy path. Amen? Amen? It's there. Most of our leaders today have turned to their own crooked ways. Never have I seen leadership in our nation all my 74 years. I've never seen the leadership in our nation be so indifferent as they are toward God today. And God's our only hope. He's our only help. He's only going to be our only happiness. And if we want freedom, it's got to come through the Lord. Our nation's pretty much leadership against what's right and what's good and what's straight. The Bible says they've turned their backs on God, being indifferent to the Lord. So what does that leave us a choice as a constituent, you might say, or voters, you might say? That leaves me no choice except to turn my attention from away from them and try to get some better leadership. That's the only way we're going to have it. Well, it's a terrible day to say the least. Things look pretty bleak if you look at one side of things in our nation. Is there a possibility of any lasting freedom whatsoever? Yes, there is. The psalmist held out some words for Israel, the same words the Bible holds out to us today. There's a fourth thing he says about freedom lasting. He said, if you want your freedom to last, he says, you must rejoice in the peace of the Lord. Listen to what he said in verse 5. He said, verse 5, but peace shall be upon Israel. Peace shall be upon Israel. That's the way he closes out this passage. Notice that. There's a lasting hope for freedom for Israel. These same words is just as true for us as they were for Israel in that day. Two things he says about praying for peace. Number one, he says, pray for the peace of Israel. You heard the saying many times through your lifetime, haven't you? Pray for the peace of Israel. That's a slogan that we're all familiar with, and we should pray for the peace of Israel. But I want to ask you something. Where's the slogan today that says, pray for the peace of America? We need peace just as much as Israel needs peace today. Maybe not from warlike peace, but inner turmoil and peace. We need peace in our nation. If you ever prayed for the peace of our nation, beloved, now's the best time of all to pray. Peace. We hear peace. Peace. Peace on every hand. We hear of peace conferences. We hear of peace summits. We hear of peace gatherings. But we're seeing anything else but peace, aren't we? I don't see these blessings coming out of these conferences and these summits that all of our leaders are going to sometime. If we ever prayed for peace in America, now's the time. I hope you'll join with me in praying for peace for America. But not just peace. Permanent. Permanent peace. Now I know these words were originally written to Israel. And I know God spoke to them through the psalmist. But these truths are timeless. If you want remaining, lasting freedom and peace, you've got to rely upon the Lord, remain faithful to the Lord, reject godless leadership, and then rejoice in the peace that God's already given us. He told Israel to do something. In closing, I'll share this. He said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, look over there, read that verse with me. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Everybody just about knows it by heart, but I want you to look at it again. He said, Israel, if you want peace in your land, here's what you've got to do. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, he's not talking about lost people, he's talking about people who knows God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, not the wicked government, our wicked ways, he says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So if you want lasting freedom, and I do, and I hope that you do, and I believe you do, if you want lasting, continuing freedom, we've got to pray for peace and pray for permanent peace. He said, if you'll pray, see what I'll do. If you'll pray and you'll seek my face, and you'll turn from your wicked ways, he says, then, and then only, beloved, listen, he said, then I will hear you from heaven, I will forgive your sins, and I will heal your land. That's the psalmist's words to Israel. That's the Holy Spirit's promise to us. If we'll do the same thing they did, we'll get the same results that they would have got. But now I understand. I'm not facetious enough to don't believe that there's not going to be any lasting, permanent peace to come to Israel until the Prince of Peace comes, amen? There's not going to be any lasting peace to America, if America even exists as a nation, when the Lord comes. There's never going to happen until the Prince of Peace himself comes. So you want lasting freedom? You want continuing freedom? You want your freedom to last? Four things we've got to do. Rely on the Lord. Remain faithful to the Lord. Reject our current godless leadership. And then just rejoice in what God's already given us. He's given us individual peace. It's like that little cartoon I saw one time years ago. there was an island and a storm was just raging. And the wind had this palm tree blown over just about almost ready to blow out of the earth. And in the fronds of that palm tree was a little bird nest. In that little bird nest were three little birds, just as happy as they could be, just at peace, not a care in the world, and all the storm was raging round about them. Listen, the storm's raging about us, beloved, today. And it's going to continue to rage. And the Bible says things are going to continue to wax worse and worse before the Lord comes again. So expect that. Understand that. But we can have peace before that time comes. Internal peace is there through Jesus Christ our Lord. My peace, Jesus said, I'll give to you. My peace is not a peace that the world can give. The world doesn't know anything about the peace of God. But He said, my peace I'll give to you. A peace that passes all understanding, which shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, I'm going to have peace in here. I've got peace now. I'm going to have continuing, lasting freedom, peace in here because the Son's made me free. I don't know what our nation's going to have nationally, but I know what I've got individually. And you can have the same thing. Listen, rejoice in the Lord because a good, I think, modern day quote is this. God's got this. You don't have to worry about it. God's got this in the palm of His hand, and things are progressing just on schedule as God our Father has planned it before the foundation of this world was ever laid. So, where sin abounds, God's grace much more abound. Doesn't give us a license to sin, but when you face sin, God's grace is more than sufficient. Will you join me today in praying for our nation? If we ever really got sincere about our nation, that lasting peace could come for at least a while, pray. Pray and turn from our wicked ways, and God will hear us, and God will heal us, and God will forgive our sins.